Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
All right, during the pandemic, like a lot of churches, right, we shut down for a while. That's just how it was. Our church, the church that I attend. And then we reopened with, you know, the mask mandate. All right, fine. I was happy to be back in church because I did not like Zoom church. So then we wore masks for a while. And then, yay, fabulous. One day they were like, okay, we can now worship in person without the masks. And then that was short-lived. And now we're back to wearing masks again. So a buddy of mine, whom I love, he said, I'm done. I show up on Sunday morning. I pass 50 churches along the way where they're not wearing masks. And I get it. I mean, so he's like, I'll come back later. I hope I see him again. But I believe that that's just a microcosm of what's happening across this country, across all of Christendom, right? A church attendance for various and sundried reasons is down tremendously. I mean, in some places they're saying 25 to 50%. 25 to 50%. I mean, you know, you put that on top of what's happened before the pandemic where people were stopping to attend church for any number of reasons. And now, I mean, what a major hit. Well, Pastor George Sinclair is with us. He wrote a terrific piece at the Gospel Coalition that caught my eye. Pastor Sinclair is the pastor of the Rector of Church of the Messiah in the heart of urban Ottawa, the Rector of Church of the Messiah in the heart of urban Ottawa. Pastor is also the chair of Dig and Delve Servant Leadership Team, which puts on a yearly apologetics conference in Ottawa. He also speaks regularly on Parliament Hill to the Parliament Hill Christian Fellowship. Here today to talk to us about a piece that he wrote called Thinking About Whether People Will Come Back to Church. Pastor George, welcome. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure. So, Pastor, talk to us about your church. Does it mirror in some ways what's happened at my church?
Yeah, I think, Canada's vastly more politically correct than the United States. So it might even be worse.
Really?
If I don't know how old you are because it's radio, so I can't see you.
Oh, I'm old.
If you're old, you remember the worship wars about music.
Yes, of course.
And in some ways, there's new worship wars, and it's around masks and government protocols, and it's mixed in with people's strong political passions, and that's definitely going on here in Ottawa. People think we should have very defiant stands towards the government. Others, definitely the opposite end of the spectrum. And it's caused a lot of division, a lot of fights in churches and between churches.
Okay, well, it's good to know then it's not just the United States, right? It's our neighbors in Canada as well, who we always thought were, you know, a little more well-meaning in some ways, a little more refined.
Probably more like sheep. You folks all seem a little bit like barnyard dogs from a distance sometimes.
Touche, George.
So it's a human problem, right?
Yes,
trying to keep straight what's the gospel, what's politics, you know, what's essential, what's not.
Yes.
So it's definitely been a problem here in Ottawa, in my own congregation. You have people who are very, very divided over the issues, especially as the government policies keep changing. From month to month, and you're having to adapt.
Yeah. Okay, so then, Pastor, you've obviously thought about it, prayed about it for a long time. And so the piece that you wrote at the Gospel Coalition, Thinking About Whether People Will Come Back to Church, I loved it because you gave a very strong biblical stance, and you took pieces of Scripture, and then you amplified those in many ways to talk about where we are. So would you take a piece or two of Scripture that resonate with you and guide us through this?
Yeah, so the beginning came from, because ministers talk about this, and, who's going to come back, who's not, is God purifying his church, etc. Indirectly, a minister friend shared how somebody said the real issue is where the church is standing right now and where we stand when it's over. And that really resonated with me in terms of what we've been trying to do. And so, the very first text, I was going to try to think of four or five texts. You have to limit it. And I thought about them and I put them in a bit of an order. And the first one, of course, is the Great Commission. And it really just has to be the heart of a church that loves Jesus and loves the gospel. And, you know, from reflecting on that, you know, what does it profit a person to have the right view on vaccines or closures or masks but lose their soul? And, you know, at the same time, though, in all of this discussion, I regularly struggle with, too often the gospel's been used to silence churches from speaking into real cultural evil. It's hard not to think of the confessing church in Nazi Germany, the churches that were silent.
Yes, yes.
And then, you know, my cases, I tend to think of, you know, apartheid and churches that were silent about that,
yes,
or slaveholding churches. So, you know, on one hand, you don't want to have the gospel just, you think, I'm just going to preach the gospel, so I'm not going to mention any of these other types of things. It doesn't seem right that the gospel would be make you silent on every issue, no matter how evil. On the other hand, it's very easy in our flesh to try to just keep adding more and more things to those political issues. When I speak at Parliament Hill, you know, I one of the things I try to tell people is, I said, the Bible doesn't have a view on what level the capital gains tax should be.
Right.
Now, you all in the room might have very strong opinions on that, but I defy you to find a Bible text that tells you
right. But people will, won't they? People will.
They'll try to find
that.
Yeah, you know, and so with these unprecedented times, and obviously there's politics moved into it, and also, you know, on one hand, you know, I think the church has to speak on very clear issues, which are moral issues like abortion. And in Canada, of course, we have doctor-assisted suicide, which has been legal for quite a while. And churches have to be willing to speak about it. But really, for a lot of my thought, I've really struggled with how you don't want to, if you have a real concern for the lost, if I take strong stands on some things, well, people on the other side of that issue aren't going to even listen to the gospel from me. Well, what is that like, really? So if I have a view on masks and now, you know, in Canada's case, half the population won't even listen to Jesus about the gospel, is that the right thing to do?
No.
You have to also maintain the unity of the church, the local church, as much as you possibly can, and be united around the gospel. But part of what I think is that churches consistently forget the distinction between the church gathered and the church scattered. And I think in a lot of these COVID issues, the church gathered is when, you know, you have an official program of the church.
Wait, sorry. You just broke up there for a second, George. Go back for a little bit. Start that thought again.
There's this important distinction between the church gathered and the church scattered.
Okay.
And the church gathered is when the church is gathered for worship, for the official programs, they do youth group, you know, maybe some ministry to the poor, missionary support. But really, most of the work of the church is the church scattered, right? It's when you leave your church, you're doing what you're doing right now. It's the doctor, it's the nurse, it's the mathematician. And a lot of the battles around COVID and government policy should really be fought by the church scattered, not the church taking an official position, but let the mathematicians hammer models and help nurses and doctors speak the truth into what's really going on with masks or not.
Amen.
You know, because frankly, I'm not qualified to make some of those decisions.
Yes.
So that was one of the texts. That was the first text, which I really thought that encouraged people to try to, you know, to think those types of things through. So,
yeah, that's powerful, George. I mean, because more than anything, especially because we're so divided, I just need to be in worship more than anything.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we did in our church, I'm sure your church did it as well, is we just decided, you know, the media narrative and the government policies are very, very strong and very formative. And it's hard to counter some of that. And then I don't know looking at somebody what comorbidities they have, what health issues they have.
Right.
So we've really tried to say that we're one church. In our case, we have two services on a Sunday morning, but we're one church with two in-person services in our YouTube, you know, service. And we really try to honor as much as we can that we're, you know, we're one church meeting in three different ways. We're all one church. And I don't know, so far we've been trying to take it fairly patient. I don't know people's, you know, fear levels around some of this stuff. We have, you know, there's other people at the other end. And there's an old Western expression, They're all go, no, whoa. You know, you say, whoa, to the horse.
Yeah.
There's some young guys and others who are all go, no, whoa.
Right, right.
They never want to rein in their horse. Yeah. But you have to try to do what you can to try to say, you know, the whole church has to figure this out together, you know, as much as we can and love each other and be patient.
And it's so delicate. I mean, the issue is so contentious, but you need to be so delicate and try to sort this out. And there's no win-win for everybody here, because no matter what you do, people are going to be angry and people are going to leave and not return.
Well, that's where I thought that, you know, I think we have been fairly consistent on the five biblical texts that's where we've been trying to stand all the way through this. And it's where we were standing before it happened. It's where we're standing now, and I hope it's where we stand at the end. I have a church that's going to vote for different people are going to vote for different political parties.
Yeah.
I can't be captivated by a particular political party. That just, I don't think is right, biblically. I know things are a bit different in the United States. Canada just had an election yesterday, by the way.
Oh. But, how's that working out for you?
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
George, I'm sorry. I think that's an excellent place to end our conversation. We're out of time. But I certainly appreciate your humor about this and your willingness to engage something that is very contentious. And especially in the article, thinking about whether people will come back to church, the biblical imperatives that you laid forth. So thank you so much. I greatly enjoyed the conversation.
It was great to be on. Please pray for me. God bless.
Bye. I will indeed pray for you. Pray for us as well. We've been talking to George Sinclair, Rector of Church of the Messiah in the Heart of Urban Ottawa.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
million kids use e-cigarettes. Nicotine can harm developing brains, impacting kids' attention, learning, and mood in the classroom and at home. Stop tobacco companies from targeting our kids. Paid for by Tobacco Free Kids Action Fund.